From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Angry hockey fans in Vancouver taking to the streets to take out their frustration after their hometown Canucks lost the Stanley Cup Finals to the Boston Bruins last night. Canucks fan Brandon Sinclair says the gathering turned chaotic.
Heard a loud noise, turned over, and there was a car getting stomped on by a bunch of guys. And then after that, they took out the windshield, and a bunch of guys started rocking it, and then they flipped it over. 5 minutes later, it was on fire, and then they flipped another one, and it was just out of control.
Later, looters smashed store windows in the city. Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robertson.
This is a small group of people intent on breaking the law, causing trouble, and smearing the name of the city, and it's absolutely despicable.
Robertson says a number of people were injured. In Boston, fans celebrated the Bruins' victory peacefully.
USA!
It's Boston's first Stanley Cup title since the era of hockey legend Bobby Orr back in 1972. Al-Qaeda has named a successor to the group's slain leader, Osama bin Laden. He's Ayman al-Zawahiri, who served for years as bin Laden's second-in-command. The announcement was posted online today. Zawahiri is believed by some experts to have been the operational brains behind the September 11th attacks. He's thought to be holed up somewhere in the border region between Pakistan and Afghanistan. The number of homes hit by new foreclosure filings has declined, down 33% last month compared to May of last year. But NPR's Giles Snyder reports that does not mean the foreclosure crisis is easing.
The foreclosure process is stuck in a bottleneck as mortgage lenders work through the documentation problems that surfaced last fall. The foreclosure listing firm Realty Track says some 4 million homeowners are seriously delinquent. And spokesman Rick Sharga says many of them would already be in the foreclosure process if not for the delays. He also says weak demand from homebuyers is helping to put a cap on foreclosures.
The lenders are only foreclosing on properties as rapidly as they can then resell them on the market.
Despite the drop in activity, several states continue to have outsized foreclosure rates, with Nevada leading the nation with one in every 103 households receiving a foreclosure notice in May. Giles Snyder, NPR News, Washington.
The temporary levee protecting the town of Hamburg, Iowa, is likely to get its first real test today as floodwaters from the Missouri River approach the area. Dan Strum, who's chief of the Hamburg Fire Department, tells WOI-TV he thinks the barrier will work.
They've been going 24/7. It's built like a permanent levee. It's really not built as a temporary levee.
Workers have piled several additional feet of dirt on top of the levee over the past couple of days. Forecasters say the winds in Arizona could strengthen today, causing problems for fire crews battling the massive wildfire there. They are intentionally burning some areas in advance of the blaze to try to keep the flames from reaching the town of Luna, just across the state line in New Mexico. This is NPR News from Washington. Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords has been discharged from a rehabilitation hospital in Houston. Carrie Feibel of member station KUHF reports Giffords will keep receiving physical therapy daily as an outpatient.
Giffords will move into her husband's home in a suburb of Houston. Her communications director, C.J. Karamarjan, says leaving the hospital is a wonderful emotional milestone.
Congresswoman Giffords has always been a very outdoorsy person, and being cooped up never really sat too well with her. But, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but I really believe this is going to be a tremendous boost.
The hospital released a statement saying that Giffords will use the services of a 24-hour home health care provider at the house. For NPR News, I'm Carrie Feibel in Houston.
The California legislature has passed a new state budget and on time for the first time in years, but Capital Public Radio's Ben Adler reports no one seems happy with the final product.
Majority Democrats don't like it.
This is not our first choice. But this is where we are today.
And neither do Republicans.
This is an end run of the California taxpayers. It is going to cost us jobs.
Those were Senators Mark Leno and Tom Berryhill. Democrats say this budget is necessary because Republicans are blocking the extension of several expiring tax increases. In the past, the GOP could block the entire budget. But Democrats pushed their spending plan through using the new majority vote budget power approved by voters last fall. So what's in this budget? Higher DMV fees, a fresh round of cuts to state universities, and through an accounting maneuver, the salvaging of a quarter of the 1% sales tax increase set to expire at the end of the month.
That's Ben Adler reporting. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.